Ahoy there, it's Josh, producer of MDX Unplugged. In today's episode, we're talking to Sahil, an alumni of Middlesex University Dubai, who has been producing award-winning films. We'll follow his journey to get there. So, if you like movies, this one is for you. Enjoy.
Yo, guys, ready? Welcome to MDX Unplugged.
That is, okay, great. I don't need to do my job. I'll just head off right now.
No, let's do your job. Let's
All right, fine, here we go.
So, episode six.
Seven? Six?
Six, man.
Yeah, I thought it's someone told me eight.
It's going to be, no, we're in six or seven. We do not know.
We'll find out.
When we upload, we'll find
out.
Yeah,
numbers don't matter. Episode numbers don't matter, the view counts matter.
The view counts matter. Okay,
yep. So always like, share, subscribe.
Whatever Tanura said.
All right. But okay, let's stop being cringy. I'll stop being cringy now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of MDX Unplugged, Unfiltered, Unscripted University Life. Yes, my name is Tanura and I'm joined by my great co-host, Coach Farhan.
What's up?
And today I will give the guest introduction powers to Farhan. Seeing how he is a massive, massive fan of cinematography and film.
When did I say this?
Passive aggressive.
Your letterbox will confirm.
My letterbox is fun. Like, it's only like...
Fun and filled with controversy now. Shut up and please introduce.
Today's guest is... I don't know how to do this, Tanura. How do you normally introduce guests? So could you like do
so
this?
So you try and make a funny joke line that's extremely cringy. Then say the job title or the profession title and their name.
I'm not a good host, Tanura. Let's go. You can do this. You can introduce him. Introduce himself. Let's
Success
get it.
On the track does not change in...
Get out.
Damn, that's
crazy.
I'm kidding. All right, so today our guest, he is an alumni of Middlesex University's film school. I believe he made one of the feature films that was showcased at our Premiere the MDX, showcased at... Roxy, or it was
short,
Roxy, right?
Roxy. Short film.
Short film. It's not feature length, guys. So feature.
Okay, fine. I will call it a feature short film.
I mean, I'm gonna say if it's feature, I'm gonna say Sinners. Like, if people watch it, they would have an idea.
Yeah, he had his short film screened at Roxy Cinemas in Dubai Hills, the largest screen in the Middle East and North Africa. And his name, ladies and gentlemen, is Sahil. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, how are you feeling, man? How are you doing this fine day?
I'm excited, man. I think this is my second time doing this.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Yo.
Pressure's on.
Pressure's on for us.
Yeah, bro. It's pretty cool. I'm excited. It's like those Logan Paul YouTube videos.
Oh, my God. Impulsive. We're getting there.
I prefer
Sidecast, you know? I prefer Sidecast.
You should religiously watch Impulse for a good while.
If only I didn't have to pay the $36.99 dirham subscription.
Skill issue.
How much you pay? How much you pay that?
No one needs to know.
Exactly.
Either way, so introduce yourself. Tell us more about yourself, I would say.
Alright, at the camera or you guys?
You can look at us. Either way, it works.
Hey guys, I'm...
No, go for it.
Are you saying?
It's okay.
Alright. Hey guys, I'm Sahil Shettigar. I'm a fashion photographer and a filmmaker based in Dubai. And I'm also a creative director. And maybe a stylist too, because I've styled a lot of my shoots too, and films as well. That's about it.
Fair play.
That's a solid joke.
Don't worry, you're doing great. You have to be a lot more loose. No need to be tense. It's fine.
No pressure. It's okay.
I'm calm.
Behind the scenes or on the screen, whatever you call it.
His main work is behind the camera.
So what brought you into filmmaking? Like, what is your inspiration? Or like, how did you go about it?
Honestly, for me, it was like, I think I was 17 when I joined uni. It was right after school instantly. So I would say I was a kid back then, so there was really no real inspiration. It was just like, I used to do photography back then. I started photography, and then I had a camera with me, so I was like, yo, what am I good at? Like, what do people want from me a lot more? And it was a lot of, yo, Sahil, can you do this shoot for me? Yo, Sahil, can we do a photo shoot today? So I think right after uni, I was like, yeah, I ain't going to do business, bro. Hell nah. Or marketing or none of that stuff. I'm sorry, guys, if that offends you guys.
No, trust me. I mean, I've taken business degrees and I'm a coach. So like...
Yeah, exactly. I was like, yo, let me do something and have fun with my life sort of thing. So it was like, yo, what's there with cameras? So I was like, yo, Middlesex University, a lot of my friends are going there. I was like, you know...
Peer pressure?
Now I was going to say bleep.
That's the right thing to say on a podcast, man.
I was like, yeah, I'm gonna take filmmaking, something with cameras and stuff. So I think the first time when I joined uni also, I didn't know a lot about the course. It was just like, yo, cameras and what? I'd say less. Bigger cameras, now let's have more fun with it. So I think that's when I came to uni and it was like, yo, script writing. I was like, yo, what's that?
I didn't know I needed English writing skills for this.
Yeah, like, I think I was kind of confused about it. I was like, yo, I don't do script writing. So like, I just want to learn cameras. And then I was like, thought about filmmaking that time. That was when I was still 17. So I was introduced to script writing, directing, cinematography, and then it kind of branched out a lot more where I got to know, like, oh, damn, so a DP has a AC1, a AC2, a camera operator. I was like, yo, I thought he does it all by himself. Now I'm a director, as a producer and all these things. I was like, damn, I thought the guy makes his own films, takes it all out of his, ass.
Bro just thought that the script was coming out of his head.
He's like, yo, let me make a film tomorrow.
He just sees the guy walking like, this is Hoyt the script.
Hoyt, yo, let's go make a movie, yeah. But I think from there, it kind of branched out when I made my first short film. It was the most stupidest title ever, called Dream or Reality. I don't know why I thought of that.
It was like a very short film. You have like cliche titles, like when they start up.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like a very thing.
Yeah, so it was like a whole, it was like a 3-minute short film.
Okay.
On space, on the title space. So we had to make a movie on space. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I could think about is, back then I had a lot of friends. I was in a group of like 25 people. So I was like, yo, what can I think about space? And it was just like, I think space between friends. So the movie was also about that, where this one friend introduces his friend that he meets at the gym to his best friend, and then it's like both the best friends start mingling each other, and now this guy's out of the frame. And that's some real shit also. Can I say shit or I can't say shit?
Nah, I can't. It's up to the producer.
Yeah, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by our producer, Josh.
We're gonna bleep them.
Come on, Josh, if you would like.
Okay, now I'll be honest, because you know this word, like, out.
Yeah, yeah. Bleep it now.
I was introduced that it was a bad word when I was in AquaVenture in like 10th grade in school. When someone. Some kid's mom. Those kids were like, hey, you can't be saying that. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, yo.
Hold up, Josh. I mean, I don't know. Our producer might feel a bit harmed by that one.
I don't know what you mean. Like, yeah. I mean, it don't work in India like that, though. Like,
us Indians, we kind of like have a understanding
it's,
of
it's
whole
a different
thing.
Thing
just India, like just South Asia in general.
I think we don't have an understanding on how much a word has so much impact.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what it is.
But coming back to filmmaking part. I think right after that is when I got my head fully into filmmaking. Like, the idea of it was super cool, because that was a movie I directed, shot, casted everything on my own. And it was fire. I shot a scene of that back in the day in McDonald's as well, where I asked, it was like a whole location permit thing. Yo, can I shoot over here? Blah, blah. And they were like, yo, it's calm, you know, do it. And it was like a whole set going on over there. So it was fire. And
so while people were ordering Big Macs, there was just a couple of scenes.
They actually like sat a bit away from me, because there was a production thing going on. There was tripods, there was my light.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's how
And I think like as a 17-year-old back then, that was interesting, coming from like, yo, failing in school a lot, hearing like, yo, what are you going to do after this? Because I was really clueless, yo, what am I going to do after this? Until I got to know, yo, there's a filmmaking course that exists that I can play around with cameras. So yeah, right after that, it was fun, man.
That's kind of cool as well, because like a lot of people, like they have their major interests, and then they might, like, it's like your perspective, like they flunk out of school. A lot of people, they just immediately think that, ah, there's nothing left for me to do. And then you you just took advantage. Like, I know I have the skill. It's filmmaking is not photography, but it's that direction.
Exactly. I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of skills in this world that branch out so much in a very niche way that you don't get to explore in school. So I would say school is still like a 1% of your life. I feel like right after that, the uni life is like a big chunk, because you're still growing as a teenager into an adult at the same time. And there's a lot of things you learn as well in terms of your like relationship life, in terms that's with people, like, or like with your like girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, or with people in general, or with clients, stuff like this. So a huge part of that is also even inspired my filmmaking journey as well. So yeah, it's pretty fire.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. So out of all the things you've learned in Middlesex, like with your directing, script writing and all, what is like your most favorite one? Like, is it cinematography, even after like learning all these things, or do you want to do something else around with filmmaking?
My favorite all time is cinematography and directing, both of them.
So it's still holding a lot of aspects with your camera.
A lot. Like, even as to what I do right now, fashion photography, if you guys see like a lot of my work, it's super visual art. Like, you can see like a whole scene, a whole set. I don't know if you have seen my work as well.
No, trust me. My socials for you page is heavily dominated by...
Just take a quick look.
By Cricket. So like,
just take a quick look at it.
Yeah, go on, continue.
So I would say a lot of my work, a lot of my filmmaking is what I bought into my photography as well. So I would say...
Sorry for interrupting, but I just gotta see this one shot I found.
Yeah, so...
We won't be showing this over here, but we will tag all accounts, so don't worry. You guys can see for yourself. It's a very interesting shot. I like the build of it. I like the editing as well.
I mean, yeah, that was production. That was alright. But I would say a lot of my filmmaking skills, that is my cinematography, my directing, my set design, my color grading, is what I bought into my fashion photography as well. Mm-hmm. So whatever I learned over here, there was something I wanted to merge into what I did before university as well. So that was photography and filmmaking both. So yeah, my cinematography goes super heavy. Like, even some movies that I watch, I get inspiration from that into my work as well. A lot of Christopher Nolan movies too. His grading is what I get inspired by, and I try to implement that into my work as well. His sets and all these other things too.
So what's your favorite Nolan movie? That's going to be the...
Interstellar. For me,
Interstellar. Interstellar. What's yours, Tanura?
It's always Interstellar.
Huh? It's not Interstellar.
Inception.
Huh?
Inception.
Don't say Dark Knight.
Nolan make the Batman trilogy is one of the best trilogies of all time, but it's in its own case. Okay, like,
so,
I wouldn't.
Okay, so what's your favorite one?
I think for me, it's probably gonna have to be not Tenet. It's probably gonna have to be Memento.
Memento.
Memento was the first Nolan film I'd actually watched. Believe it or not.
Okay.
So
that's a sick movie.
That's a really good movie.
I mean, technically, it'll be Batman.
I mean, of course, Bollywood ruined it with its remix of Gajini. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Gajini was fire too.
The thing is, when I was a kid, I saw Gajini first, so I had no idea like how it worked. So I was like, it was a really good movie. But later on, when I got exposed to Hollywood movies a lot more, then I saw Memento, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, oh, no way. They actually remade Christopher Nolan movie. Because again, the nuance he brings into the filmmaking is... A whole different level.
I think what Bollywood does is they take Hollywood movies and they dump emotions into it, bro.
Do you know
it's a trauma dump?
Do you know there is a remake of Old Boy?
There's a remake of
by
what?
Bollywood Old Boy, like the South Korean.
Yeah, I know Old Boy. Yeah, South Korean film.
Yeah, so Bollywood didn't make a remake on this, by the way. I just found out like a month ago.
Which movie?
It's called. I don't remember the name, but it has John Abraham and Sanjay Dutt in it. Sanjay Dutt is the main lead. Yeah, it's wild. I was wondering how is Bollywood going to adapt the story? Because it's if you've seen the ending, you'll be like, this is the most greatest thing I've seen. This is the most shocking, traumatizing one. So how is Bollywood going to do this?
No, the
they
thing
do
is,
it in the most funniest way ever.
No, like, the thing with Bollywood, though, is like... A lot of the films, even if we would consider them a flop, they work financially because you've got like 1.4 billion people willing to back it.
I swear. That's the thing.
Like, that's the thing with a lot of...
Even
like,
the upcoming movies also remake of Amar Khan. So
Amar Khan making Mahabharata, he spoke about that recently.
Yeah.
Now, even if the whole world doesn't watch it, you have 1.4 billion and people that are very religious as well, plus that are like,
they'll put themselves into it, they'll give their heart for it.
Yeah, that have been looking up to these historical things like back in the day. So you're going to get some mad money out of that, bro.
And the thing is, it's not just like in India, right? Like, the outside of India, if you want to give an example, the UK. A lot of UK like culture and content, it doesn't need the rest of the world. Like, it just needs its own country.
That's true, 100%.
Robbie Williams?
Yeah. That is for me, because that is my example for me, because it angers me so much how Better Man failed around the world. Have you seen Better Man?
Nah, I haven't.
Yeah,
yeah, see, I wouldn't expect him to even know it. Have you heard of the musician Robbie Williams?
Nah.
Exactly, that's the point. But if you tell that to someone in England, they heard Robbie Williams, and they say, no, you're going to get backhanded.
It's easy. It's like cricket. Like, let's be fair. Yeah. Like, it's like so many countries don't play it, but it's still the second most popular in the
world.
Thanks
to 1.4 billion people in
thanks
India.
Thanks to us.
1.4 is crazy, man.
Y'all have one.
And that's only in India, by the way.
Y'all have 1/8 of the world's population.
Like, where are you from?
Further down south.
Sri Lanka.
Oh, you in
India. Yeah. Do not say we're okay. Basically.
Okay.
I mean... No,
fair,
I mean, you're basically a part of us.
We're not. We're our own. We're our own identity.
Either way, so coming back to movies.
Yeah.
Okay. So yours is Interstellar. His is
Memento.
Memento. Mine's Inception. To be fair. Okay. Because it was a very unique concept.
Nah, Inception is mad fun. Yeah. The concept is insane.
Because it was very original. It was something you've never seen, and eventually it holds up. All the VFX and it also holds up.
It was crazy. I feel like thinking about that is like. You're in a sleep paralysis type of vibe.
It's so good.
That's insane.
I think it's one of the movies we can keep watching again and again. You'll feel like, wow, there's still something more.
It never gets boring, yeah. It's never one of the boring.
Rare movies of him, I would say.
That's true.
Whereas Tenet, just like, okay, so we need to like draw a paper. Let's just do it. But now, I love Tenet.
Look, these concepts are sick. Like, Tenet's story might have not been the best, but the concept was so
unique.
Interesting, where I had to watch it 5 times to understand
and comprehend.
I was like, yo.
It's a very simple plot. The way he does it is like, yo, this is insane.
Like, even have you guys seen the BTS of how they made the...
Yeah.
Bro, they literally told the guy to practice it backwards.
That's
insane.
The choreography, the whole fight they did backwards was so good.
That's the beauty of like... I'll say this, when you get to that scale level of production, that's the beauty of it, right? But then something I want to ask after talking about the Nolan films in particular, like at your level where you started off obviously making the short film concepts, but then obviously you wouldn't have taken inspiration from another short film. You would be watching these high level budget productions.
Yeah.
And then you see these concepts that you think like you can recreate it, but obviously not to that expectation. How do you adapt it with your surroundings and your resources available as a filmmaker?
A lot of times, so I would say we look at it as terms of, this is in our uni life, okay. Right? So like, obviously like our filming days. So we have like 3 filming days. So looking at that plus the budget, plus the amount of people involved, plus even the skill set level, because there are some great filmmakers, there are some that are still learning and developing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the filmmakers are even chosen by other teams as well. So looking at all the statistics, like there's a way to even see that part and make it like even my film Sage that I made, that was inspired by the film Memento.
Mm.
So even that part was a pretty simple concept. I knew like seeing my factors, seeing the budget, seeing my skill set level as well back in the day, things that I have in my hand right now. Cool, I can rent a house. Okay, I can get sponsored by a bakery to film a part of the scene over there. Okay. I want to do it in a beach. And I tried shooting this a part of my movie as well in Anantar Islands. Mm. So I got everything confirmed until the day before the shoot. We just needed a boat and all these things for someone to take us to the island. Because I think when I make movies, I like to make it like how Nolan also does it. He likes to give his set a whole experience in itself.
Not like built it inside a warehouse like you wanted
it
to
be. No, I wanted it to be an experience. Like even my fashion photography as well, it's like in all these sets, it's a whole experience. So I want to give that as well to my crew members too and my cast as well. So it was like, yo, let's... So we arranged like 4 to 5 boats, all of us, to go over there to the location. Our island, we blocked it like for an hour for the filming. And it was all for free because I spoke to them and they were like super cooperative. But a day before the shoot, ain't no one answering their phone calls. I'm sorry if I name drop just like...
It's fine. Listen, when you don't pick up the phone, you know things might never work out.
So then it was like a last minute, yo, call someone in Dubai, film TV and commissions, get a permit, film in Kite Beach. So that was the last option, and we went by that. One of the most fire shots I've gotten as well.
I think it didn't feel like Kite Beach. Like, I don't think you put some elements into it. That was quite good. So
yeah. I think a lot of people thought I filmed it in some other country.
So that means you've done your part.
Yeah.
Like,
that's yeah.
If you can't recognize what location that is, it's like, you know what?
That's how you know you've achieved,
you achieved it.
Your goal.
Yeah, that was
good. So that's my part of, like, even the question you asked. Like, I try to see how to make it super... Like, I try to make things not fully... Dubai like. Yeah. Like, it, I think things look a bit more corporate over here.
Yeah.
Try to make it more like you in a different world. It's more of an experience as well.
So it's also a lot of like taking feeling. Advantage of what you've got. Like
100%,
you know,
yeah.
Like, if you know that, okay, shooting-wise, you have to utilize like an area like Kite Beast, then you put a bit more time, so I'm guessing, the editorial process of
it. 100%. So the angles also were like super editorial. I want to keep it like very focused on this one character. And the grading involved after that is also something I took a lot of account into. And I think everything came out super great, and I was like, yo, that was a fire product for like the things that I had.
You won an award for it, right?
Oh,
for
yeah, best cinematography. Best cinematography.
There we go. There we go.
And funny thing was, before I wrote the script itself, I just wrote it in my notepad, like, yo, okay, an award I want to win is the best cinematography one. And I was competing with someone in my, you know.
I was competing with someone, but
it was just more of like, yo, you know, like, I just won that award, man. Like, yo, no questions asked. I won that award. Like,
just that.
I wasn't competing. I'll be honest, I wasn't competing at all. I wasn't even looking at your left, right, who's doing what. It was just like, yo, look, I won that award. It's just me and that award right now. I'm going to work my way to get it. Like, anyone beside me, and yeah, put the hard work into it, and happy I got that.
Yeah, I think
that
one had the best camera work. Yeah. It was just 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that one had the best photography as well, even as an audience as well. Like, you know what? That looks quiet. Quite been, filmy.
Yeah.
You have better memory than me, man. It's been 2 years.
Nah, trust me. I don't remember.
I mean, when you make loads of shoots in Connor, you don't even remember like what you've done a few years ago. Like, oh, yeah, I made this. Like, yeah. Speaking of cinematography, like, so there's a trend now in Hollywood. One shot take.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it blew up from the Netflix show Adolescents, which, by the way, I don't...
Here we go.
No. I haven't said anything yet.
Yet.
Like, the show became so big, and one of the main talking points was one shot. And I'm just like, this is not the first time one shot has done. There's been so many... Yeah. I mean, for me, my first exposure was Birdman. It was back in 2013. So it's been a long time. So now the show has on its own, it's okay. It's personally, I feel it's mid. Like it's
mid. Yeah,
it's very mid. Like
still haven't seen it. So
it's
like people are raving about like this is the next cultural thing. I was like,
I would say it's great for parents. I think parents need to watch it.
Yeah, it's more of like a moral thing. But like talking about like filmmaking. Okay,
this is what you have to show at the PTA meeting, not at the Cannes Film Festival.
Nah, facts.
Yeah.
The performance was solid, that's more. But apart from that, it's
wow, his performance, bro.
The performance of the kid was quite...
That was his first time acting, by the
that's
way.
That's insane. Really?
That was his first time
that
acting.
That was first of a role.
And that was crazy for him to remember like a 20-minute line. Because there were scenes where the camera was just on him. Mm-hmm. So you know that... Like, you know, like, one takes can also be, like, what do you say, mimicked in a way, like, there's a cut, but you ain't
going to notice it. Of course, they've done that.
Even in 1917
as well.
There were, like, six cuts in the movie, but no one really noticed
it. I think one of the best recent examples was Extraction 2. It's a very generic action movie, but in Extraction 2, they have this 25-minute scene. One of the most insane. You're into games and you should definitely watch.
Is that the one where they're...
It's a continuous shot.
Inside the building,
they go on like a train chase.
Yes,
and I was
that,
like,
yeah.
How did they... Like, I personally didn't...
That was mad sick.
Wait, amazing.
That was just a single.
It was beautiful. I'm sure there'll be cuts, but none of us, even for like who criticizes movies, they couldn't find it out because it's so well done. Like, that 25 minutes alone is worth watching the movie in the theater.
That's true.
But I feel like, but what are your thoughts on one shot? Is there something like you can elevate the story or is this like a gimmick? Like, how does it go about it? What do you see?
Okay, for me, I feel like more interesting the content it is in that one shot, it holds a lot more value.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the moment it gets a little boring, you just lost. Like, because, example, Adolescence, like the one you just said, like... There were a lot of dialogues. It was heavy in dialogues. Like, mad heavy in dialogues and just the camera, just like one person. For me, like, I don't really like that. It's not my style at all.
You know, the way you guys are framing it, like, just confirm, okay, I've never seen the show. So, is that one shot from that scene at all, since you guys are talking about just him talking?
Yeah, the second episode.
Trust me, the movie is like this. Yeah. Like, you guys, the camera's over here, it can be here for 25 minutes.
It'll move around, and then you can stand up, and now
I can just follow you, and now you leave. I'm gonna just keep following you until you go back home. That means sit in your car and drive back home,
and you ain't
saying nothing in the car. You're just sitting and driving.
That's not a film, though. That's just a vlog gone wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
That's literally like that's literally like the modern day Casper.
But the thing is, people were like, "This is insane." I was like, "This is not insane." I've seen so many better ones who've done it. Like,
I would say maybe the production effort put into it was insane, cool.
Fair enough.
But yeah, the content that came out of it wasn't that great. It was
PSA message at that point.
No, it's like exactly.
No matter how good the production or the cinematography is, at the end of the day, at least for a lot of viewers past, I'll say, like viewers like us, you need dialogue. Like, dialogue will be something that's not very important. Like, sure, when we were younger, okay, we'll probably be like, oh, I don't know. I don't remember what they said, but like, it looked amazing. Like, we like the lights. But now, the older you get, the more you watch movies, the more you get.
It's just content another day. 100%, I feel like, I feel like the show barely had much content in it. Like, there'll be like, there isn't, okay, it's a message and that's about it, but there's nothing more.
But the message was stretched out a lot.
A lot, and I was like,
like, if you watch the whole series, the ending and the whole thing you watch, you're going to be like,
wait,
what's why? Like, yo, why are you for this?
You know, there's probably going to be a lot of people that watched it that took true heart meaning to like the background of it, and then we're just here
thrashing. Just talking about the film.
Again, it's great for parents. Yeah. I would say my parents to watch it because it's great for them. I would say like people that are becoming parents to watch the movie, it's great for them. But like me,
as a filming for us, this is not for us.
Why am I watching? It's probably going to be like, no, we just wasted our time.
Yeah, it is. Like Extraction 2, like that scene was insane. Yeah. Like, because in that 1 second of the one take, because there's a lot going on. Like, he's running, he's breathing, he's looking left, right.
There's so much happening, and there's so much effort kept in. Like, there's like all the extras fighting. It gets insane. Like, you have to move around. Like, what they've done in that movie is phenomenal.
Like, exactly, yeah. I think, like, a one take shot should be done in a way where the audience doesn't get bored, but is still held intact until the end. So you're able to grasp all the content, but you're also able to notice that it's a one take and appreciate it for what it is. So Extraction 2 did that, 1917 did that.
Even another TV show was The Bear season 1. So in The Bear, I
love The Bear.
Yeah, The That's Bear in season show. 1, one of the episodes, it was a very short episode, like 25-30 minutes episode. It was a one take. And the pressure, the anxiety induced, it was like having in the behind the
So I guess one takes are not meant for every genre then. It's meant for specific styles. It depends
on 100%. What the content is. Really depends on what The Bear is insane. They're just shaking. The there's a lot of things happening where you feel like you're in the kitchen.
You're in part of the kitchen.
And now if it's like a one take thing, it's like, say I'm in the kitchen, I'm looking left, right, there's a lot of things happening. Like, I'm seeing one thing, now my eyes ain't gonna cut and go to another part, you know? So it's like, that's what it felt like even watching that bear scene. It was just like, yo, beautiful, beautifully done. Great. So
ladies and gentlemen, at all sense is not the highest standard.
Trust me,
one shot. There's so many better ones.
Way better ones
on that. I think even
I can't say anything. I've not even watched. The closest it's on Netflix, it's a Netflix series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only three major Netflix series are House of Cards, Squid Games, and the third one is a biography of someone, but I don't want to say it on.
Oh, okay, please don't.
It's about a year ago.
Oh, wait. Manhunt?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm not.
It starts with the A.
No.
And
is it the O?
It starts with J.
Oh.
You know why I can't say it.
Okay. Right, we don't want to get the show canceled.
Yeah. 5 stars I gave it on Letterboxd and IMDb.
I fully.
Speaking of which, MDX premiere. This is like one of the selling points of the
year
when it comes to filmmaking. Is
premiere the MDX. We need to.
We need to own.
Of course, you're watching this.
We don't need degrees on us, okay? We don't need degrees on us.
I had a very thought-provoking conversation with him. I think you were there as well with the filmmaking stuff he was.
Yeah.
But yes, tell us more about Premiere DMDX. Like, how does it go about it? Like, yes, for us, we've been there. We've been the 2 editions of it. And it's quite interesting because, again, it's something... It's probably a big achievement for so many students because, making sure your work is seen by loads of people in a...
Outreach-wise, in our perspective as fans or as viewers, like, okay, we get to witness the films and we get to witness the student success. But I guess from your perspective, as the student who's getting the film on the big screen, what goes through your mind, the thought process, the lead-up? Because technically, it is a 3-year build-up for you.
Like, do you guys know way advanced, like in first year, okay, this is going to be a final project, or is it like, or you wouldn't understand in third year towards the end of your academic year? How does it go by?
Yeah.
For me, I didn't know at all. Like, okay. I think I got to know in second year end. Because, mm-hmm. I just got to know in second year end, and it was insane for me. But the question you asked, like, I mean, if I had to ask you, like, which is the best marathon you have ran in your life? Like, I don't know if that's the way to ask, but
I know the perfect answer for you.
Where would you say that? Like, the biggest and the best.
I know the perfect answer.
Biggest and the best. What I've experienced as a runner, I would say, that's kind of tough.
Silicon Mall.
No, he's talking about marathon. No, I would say Burj to Burj. That's one of the recent ones. So it's basically running from Burj Khalifa to Burj Al Arab. That's one of the newer events which happens.
And that's like with medals and awards and all that.
Yeah, medals, awards. There's medals, there's awards and all of that. But like, I mainly focus on like smaller distance. That's where I kind of aim for like the prices and all that.
So like taking that into like this one, like the way you felt when you were on that track, but that's something you professionally built to get to where you are. Where you went over there, so same thing over here. I would say I think it's one of the greatest things MDX has done. MDX and Afroz both have done for the students, because it's like premiers, like those people in this world get to experience when they have made like big features and all. Especially Roxy Hills Extreme, that's nuts. That's nuts.
There's not, forget like even at the level. Forget at the level of being a student. Like there are a lot of major feature films that it's not even formatted for that screen, and you guys have that opportunity.
That's what I was Oppenheimer in that. Can you imagine? And then I was like,
you can say, I have a film that's in same screen as Oppenheimer.
That's what I said. When I went to watch Oppenheimer, there was another guy sitting next to me. So it was me and my other two friends, and I was like, yo, you know, my film also screened here. And then
this is a small plug-in.
And then he didn't believe it. I was like, I'd say less.
I'm gonna show you the first couple of photos in that same folder.
Like, damn, yo, what's your Instagram? I was like, yo, say less, bro. Here you go. Like, if you guys shoot,
you a plus one.
Always networking, but always
networking.
But
networking before the explosion.
Before
the big,
the most quiet is explosion. I think it's one of the most dreamiest things to happen and to witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was like, was I 19? No, like I think I was 20 when that happened. And the rush of excitement and fear and and hype and all these things that it's built around is great for like a lot of us students. And even right now, like even where I'm in my career right now, getting to witness that again, it's still insane for me. It's still like, yo, that's a sick thing. Because you even get it like a theatrical release, your film as a theatrical release, which like a lot of people in this world don't get. Because there's a lot of filmmakers in this world that once they make their film, they can only put it on YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram.
Yeah.
Unless if it's like a premiere in like a film festival, if it gets selected officially.
And if it gets selected, which is also hard because you're competing against like 10,000 or 50,000 other passionate filmmakers.
Across the world, that too. It's not just into one area.
Exactly. But over here, I would say it's more of like a push for students to dream a lot more, you know, and because that's what I believed in. Because when that happened to me, it allowed me to dream a lot more and to branch into where I am right now as well. Because I keep talking about this always to everyone. Mm-hmm. A lot of my clients as well, they know Roxy. They know all these things.
Yeah.
So when they hear that, oh, damn, your film has been seen in Roxy twice. Damn, that's insane. Like, what do you do? Like, yo, tell me more about you then.
Because
then it's more like, yo, you're put in a class. Because even getting into Roxy Extreme is another thing right now. Like, as you said, like, not every film gets to be screened in that exact same screen. So, I would say the excitement is insane. Like for a student to come stand over there amongst 500 people, have their film playing in Dolby Atmos and screened in Dolby Vision, shot in a red, that whole experience, that 6 months into where you're trying to reach that. Because you're still trying to get into Roxy, you know, like you're not into it still. Because even when you're filming the movie, you're with your crew members, your cast and all these things, even though you make all these promises like, yo, it's going to go into Roxy, there's still selections afterwards.
Yeah.
If you fail to meet those criteria and requirements, like if your sound don't be good, if your quality of the movie isn't good as well, your color grading isn't good, it's not going to reach the Roxy theater standards. Because they have standards as well. They have decibels to meet.
That's something even like general public wise they don't realize. Like
exactly,
I think you mentioned things like the Dolby systems and stuff. Maybe no offense to anyone listening, but probably half of them don't even realize the scale of which this really means, especially to a filmmaker.
Of course, yeah, yeah. Like these tiny details that I just mentioned, no one knows that. People just think like, all right, yeah, you make your movie, and like, put your sound in, send it to the theater. Nah, it ain't that. It's like,
I mean, if you want it to be on YouTube forever, sure. But if you want it to be...
On Roxy, it's exactly. A whole different ballgame because even if Rose was in Roxy, I think that night, I think he's always been like there for countless nights in Roxy until like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., trying to fix people's sound like a little bit because he's still got to do the tweakings. Because even once you make your whole sound like perfectly aligned to what it is for our MDX theater, once you take it over there, there is a slight adjustments to do.
Yeah.
There is still grading requirements to be met.
Yeah.
So a lot of students that have been with me, like one of my friend as well, like who made his film didn't get through. Like he was rejected and he was like crying inside the theater and all. And even my part, like I have a.
Well, was he crying on the day or was it like some?
No. The date got rejected. It wasn't allowed to be in Roxy. Yeah. So,
but was it played eventually?
No, it wasn't. Oh, not
okay,
at all.
Okay.
So even though like he spent around 4.5k into his. Promises actors, yeah, it's going to come into Roxy. It all went downhill. Like, nothing came out of the movie.
The thing is, like, the films we see at Roxy is, like, that's not all the films. Like, there's an average of 25 students of short films that are played, right?
They're only crosswork.
There are seven films, and they probably pick, like, five in that.
Okay. But do you guys crosswork? Because I keep seeing the same actors, or like producers.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people like crosswork as well.
Yeah, crosswork.
I mean, you can crosswork, but at the end of the day, it's if the direction or the director's place doesn't work, then
I feel like students work not just one short film. They make multiple of them, whoever it is.
That's true.
All the effort counts then at the end.
So like,
as much as it's a degree and a competition, like you guys help each other.
It's
as well.
More than a degree. That the ending part, like if you don't get into Roxy, honestly, like.
But it's like a motivation for you guys
because
easily
working for those 6 months from writing your script to developing the whole thing to then editing it and then you're like, damn, I actually shot these things. Wow. Wait, then putting your sound design, you're like, holy smokes. Yo, this looks fire. And then going like, you're accepted. And then you know that now you got to go back home. Now you're getting like, say, 10, 15 tickets. Yo, you call in all your friends, guys. And now when you guys are kids, you guys used to go watch movies in theaters, like walks and all. Now for your friends to pull up and be like, damn, that's my homie, his movie's in Roxy. That's a whole different feeling. No one in this world is going to get to experience that. And I think that's the most beautiful part about like MDX and Of Rose as well, man. Both killed it.
I think you got lucky. And it's like, if this was either of us making a short feature film, we're just roasting each other even if it's good.
I'm not wrong, man. Like, we'll roast ourselves all the way out of the smoke.
To be fair, like, we are quite critical with these kind of when we just watch. But even we are critical with our own work as well. As long as we all on the same page, like, we all criticize our own work.
That's true.
We are calm about it.
I don't know about you. You might have a different experience on this, but I don't think I'll ever, from the filmmaker's perspective, I don't think I'll ever reach that high. Like, because it's the 6 months of that tension building up to that moment.
But that's what you think. But I would say, like,
it's a fun process. Yeah, it's sleepless nights. It's loads of work. Mm. But I feel like it pays off. If you truly love cinema, it is a thing. It's a goal, I would say.
Because
I think back in school, they had this thing. It's not there anymore. It's called Children's International Film Festival. It was like a non-profit organization over here. So they used to take best short films from all the schools over here, and they screen it in walk cinemas.
Oh,
so I kind of did that like for like 3 years. Yeah, no one knows.
So,
nobody's seeing
so
these.
Now so the next mission, don't worry. Next mission is, do you drive?
Oh, speaking of that parking. Yo.
Bro just realized he has to pay his
So I kind of understand from his perspective on how the end goal is to, like, be in the short film.
Yeah.
It was a film festival, so the thing is, like, it was like a 1 week film festival. They had like an opening ceremony, closing ceremony, awards, and they had like this
creed. Did you win anything?
I did for the posters.
So we now need to find that old laptop. We gotta see these videos.
I have them, but they're really bad. Trust me. Like,
come on, listen. We're not critical. We're very non-judgmental.
Yeah, it's
man.
Calm, bro.
No, 2010. It's so bad. But like, it's no way what these guys made. But like, somehow, but for student standards, like, you know what? It's
So guys, next episode we will be reviewing.
We will be reviewing.
Do you want to review
Farhan's YouTube videos?
I think it'll blow up. I think if you just dissect every single scene, we'll call.
So what do you think, Josh?
Every single scene.
Do you think we should have a review session? We got the approval from the producer. We got this. Let's go.
It's like 10 minutes. 30 minutes in total. You guys had a waste. We'll find out.
It's not a waste. I'm dedicated to watching these.
We'll find out. So how was this year? I feel like this year's premiere was a big step up from the quality of movies. I think
I was there.
Part of one of the movies as well. The guest room. Okay, I have many questions on it. But I want to hear from
your honest opinion.
Your creator's perspective. Like, what were you trying to convey? Like, what was the whole thing?
No,
this is passive aggressive way saying I didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
I'll tell you why, because when I was there, I was like, it had like a big speech before it. I was like, okay, so we, not the families or like people who did watch, but the general audience is okay. So
the build up was real. Like this wasn't your normal hype build up. So
the build up. Okay, this looks very promising. Because even when I saw the poster, okay, this is the one I want to watch because you were involved. I was like, okay, I'm sure this would be good. But yeah, so then I saw it. I was like, okay, am I missing something or is it the wrong way? I just want to know. I want to have a perspective.
Guest room was giving me that I have to watch 10 and 5 times to understand the concept.
Okay. I don't mind. It's 3 minutes.
I would say it's a very artistic film. So the director, Vaishnavi Pramod.
Artistic, you said, right?
Yeah, it's a very... artistic.
Yeah. I don't know if we got to bleep that, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Now, the director, she's here as well right now. Mm. So you can tell her this. You didn't like the movie.
Not in terms of production quality. The production, all this stuff. Those things are okay. Just like, I just want to understand what was the main message here, more or less.
So
it felt like I was like 13. I was like, okay, Drive movie, explain. And I just like saw it on YouTube on like this weird
movie. So I would say the movie is directed towards the social norms and standards that's happening in today's world.
Yeah.
That is like... We guys as consumers are like...
It's more for consumerism. Is that the message?
We guys are products to the products. Like right now, the products are the consumers. You know, we guys aren't the consumers. So that's what the movie revolves around, where like a bunch of these salesmen come to his house and like kind of barge in and be like, yo, you need to check this out. You need to buy it. And you know, like that kind of relates to like... Because even when the director was explaining the story, it got very relatable. Mm-hmm. Once she told me the whole premise, I was like, you know what? That makes sense. And she did it in a very, like, salesman type of way, like this whole movie, the whole theme. So, it's like, you know, like, even when you're shopping on Temu, like, I think a big example I can be on Temu. Have you guys ever shopped on Temu?
Saying, like, when you go on Temu, you buy something, but then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, you get a discount code for 83% off.
You guys have even spun the wheel and stuff.
Yeah,
a couple of times.
Yeah. Okay,
I've done that. I've stayed there for, like, 20 minutes. And then I was, like, yo, forced to get something within that 1 hour, because I know I'm going to do it. And I did it also, and I got the free item also. I was like, yo, come.
So I was right. It was but about consumerism.
It was
about
just
in general.
And
yeah.
At that moment, I didn't really clock it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, yo, wait. Like, yo, I didn't want to spend about 100. I spent like 400, bro, in that 1 hour. I was like, damn. And that's what the whole movie was around. Like, it's
bro,
not only
400 dirhams, you can go get a new Samsung phone, man. What
about in Temu, so you can buy a whole house. You're getting like
you get the most unhinged products.
I swear, and it's kind of crazy because like say like big example, I love Spider-Man a lot. Okay, so I was seeing Spider-Man keychains, so I put one in my cart, and then Spider-Man mask. I was like, all right, put this on for $30. I'm like, you put that in my cart as well. I gave me a Spider-Man t-shirt, look fire.
So you're
like,
slowly building your Spider-Man cosplay.
I was like, yo, only $20 is calm. It's like, you know, it's calm to have it and put that in also. Then he gave me Spider-Man pajamas also now.
So is that
now,
everything Spider-Man really
now, you get now, the web now I was like, you know what, it would be kind of, what do you say, funny and corny in a way to just have a Spider-Man pajama. Just to like mess around, you know, let me put that in my car. I realized I used like $100 already.
Do they have your size at least?
Nah, that's let me tell you this. I ordered I returned it yesterday. So DHL came back. I was like, yeah, this shit don't fit me. You'll take it back. But again,
bro,
the whole
gets it in and then the freaking pants, his knees.
But again, so the whole movie revolves around that. Like even when we go outside, like as consumers, like you know these perfumes and all, like yo, try it out.
Yeah.
They're trying to invite you inside. And
yeah, they're trying to sell your product in the end of the
day. It's like a horror movie as well, like, in a way.
Because, like, you're overwhelming the person.
Yeah,
right?
You're and it's like we guys become the product right now. Like, so the world is trying to build on us, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, let me just read a part of it. I have, like, a part of it written. Let me just read that
is
to you
like,
all.
What, is this synopsis or, like...
Not like the dialogue or something as well. No, but now that I think about it, like,
I feel like
things are piecing in my head now from like what the film and how you're explaining
that's the thing. But some of the movies when I watch, I don't clock it in at first, but then you have to rewatch it or maybe like I better understand it.
Like I said,
there's this one line that would you say she wrote to me as well. Like, in the setup, the everyday person becomes data, a product that's broken apart and sold back to themselves in smarter, shinier ways. And in that loop, I started to wonder if I just keep doing what's expected of me, will it ever be enough? Because honestly, nothing's, if you think about it, nothing's ever enough. Like, even when there are times that we want to eat, order some food, but we crave a lot of other things. We order a specific type of food, and we're like,
Let's go, man.
I still want to eat something else, though. It's like, it's never enough. And then you eat less this time, so you can eat that thing later on. So you keep on spending. And right now, look, we the product, and these are the consumers, you know, like, so.
It's like, it's almost like a role reverse. Yeah. 25 years ago,
consumer
was the consumer, product was product. Now it's like the product is the consumer.
Exactly. And even an AI coming up is doing exactly that. Yeah. It's doing exactly that. Like,
I feel like the hyping up before the short film is what got to us. Mm-hmm. I think
every short film has to be hyped.
Hyped,
like,
absolutely.
No, I would say like, hyped, but the thing is.
But if it's very artsy, it's going to be like a hit or a miss. Because it's again. When it comes to artsy movies, when there's more like deep,
100%, like, 100%.
Like, okay,
yeah, because like the way you explained it now, like now I'm getting a lot more clarity from the film. Like I'll say this: when the hype came in, when I saw the short film, I'll say this right now, I wasn't.
The speech had propaganda, and I was really so confused. This is something I'm looking forward to.
I was so confused, but now with the way you're framing it, now I'm understanding it. Now it's like, oh, I should be shown a bit more appreciation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
makes sense, yeah.
But when it comes to short films, you can watch it 10 times. Like, it's a short film for a reason.
Yeah.
But you can't do that for like live action movies, like for like 92 hours movie. Like, you're just
That's true, yeah. Some films that we can. Some films you can,
but like, just in general, like maybe.
Imagine taking a 16-hour flight to New Zealand. What else are you going to do in the plane?
Yeah.
Facts.
If you got that middle seat, you got like two people on one side, one person on this side, bro. You have no other choice but to just
binge watch movies. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. So
five times.
So yeah. But that's what the whole movie revolves around. Mm. Just like what today is in itself.
Yeah. I just want to have a better understanding on that because I did have an idea. Okay, this is what I'd see, but it's just because again, some people could interpret it one thing.
Yeah.
But the director might have a whole different thing or like a whole filmmaking behind it.
Because we got a lot of different reactions. To it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a bit polarizing reactions more or less.
I feel like that's a great thing about making movies as well. Like, getting just one answer always, like, it kind of gets like boring and stimulated to a point. Like, it's great to have mixed reactions because you're even getting to understand what people think in this world. You know, like, even keeping movies aside, we're getting to understand people's mindset as well a lot more. And that again revolves around the whole point of making this movie too.
I'm actually very happy I got more clarity on it now.
So I think one or two of the final more questions, like, so I don't know if I've seen this or heard this about this Amazon deal thingy, but it was for the guest room or for some other project. Okay. I don't know, I just came across, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's LinkedIn, I'm not so sure exactly what it was. I just heard like a rumor. What's going on with that? Like,
I can't say much, bro.
Yeah, no, but it was posted on LinkedIn.
In one line, what can you tell us for the upcoming future?
I don't know, maybe Amazon, maybe Netflix. I don't know.
But is the guest room part of
Netflix? Know. I can't afford another subscription.
I guess you never know.
Fair enough. But is the guest room part of it? Like, is it part
Dude,
of something?
Stop trying to get out
no,
of
no,
it.
No, no,
answer the question.
Wait.
He's like, Farhan, I've got an NDA on me. I'm going to get kicked.
I guess you never know. Is that
in LinkedIn, I saw this, so... Clearly, NDA's been broken over there.
Okay, then go. Okay, fine. Then let Dex get moved. He doesn't want to get cut. He doesn't want to face legal fees.
Yeah, you know, like, I just signed something there, so.
Okay, fine. Then the final question for you for today would be, what's next for you in this whole filmmaking journey? Is there something you want to pursue or do you want to go to the fashion route, or like what works?
It's something I'm fully pursuing by bringing it into my fashion world. Mm-hmm. So you
laughing? Oh, potential.
No, it's just last question. I was like, hey, no way. I just want to know this. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Go on.
I'm literally just eyeing him like, we're not breaking laws right now.
Tenura, please leave.
I'm not leaving. Listen, there's two ways an
podcast can get canceled.
Okay.
By being controversial or breaking the law.
Fine. All right, guys. We're running out of time. That's absolutely fine.
We already edged on the law.
Sorry. Sorry to interrupt you.
You know, like when you're trying to say something serious, you look at it, you just start laughing. I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
All right. Please continue. What are your future plans and what's the next step for you?
Now I'm getting married next year, so I'm just gonna have
wait, what?
Yo, jokes.
Chill out.
Bro. I would say like.
Sorry, go on.
What are you laughing?
Okay. Shh. Okay, all right, fine. All right. This is a good viral club, by the way. Let's get it.
Yeah,
you're supposed to say it. Yeah. Like, business. Let's do it.
Views are booming.
Okay.
I would say filmmaking is a huge aspect in my 3 years. So,
trying to say this without breaking any laws right now. I'm telling you.
What's
your next goal? How you see yourself in the next 5 or 10 years, or how you frame
a fashion photographer and a fashion filmmaker is what I see myself as, and that's what I'm doing right now already. But I want to implement getting my filmmaking a lot more into my production as well. That's why even the people I work with right now, they all understand my style, and that
you want to work more on commercial side.
No.
Okay.
More as an artist, in a way where a lot of my sets are like a production.
Okay.
Where there's like a lot of, like even when I'm directing my models as well, like pre-production wise, I send them references, I send them mood boards, emotions that I need you all to feel in a way. So even on set, when I direct them, there's a lot of those being involved. So I get what I want out of it. So,
okay. So
I would say like, I want to continue going the route I'm going. I think what I'm doing right now is exactly what I want to do for the next 5 to 10 years, but maybe like in a higher scale, more budget, more different locations right now. Maybe work with even more well-known, well-renowned people.
So in the future, you remake The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, 100%.
Please don't remake. Please bring original ideas. Please just sign up and deal with A24 and call it a day.
No, but
you
like,
stop with A24.
Do a lot of...
We all know A24 is the pinnacle of cinema.
I would say like, do a lot more crazy things. Because like, imagine you're watching Interstellar, but this time like an Interstellar, but like a pre-photo shoot of the Interstellar before...
Okay.
You see the idea? Like,
visualization.
Exactly. Like, it's like a photo shoot of it, but like, you're getting to watch the movie as well. So, there's like art behind the film as well. Because I feel like it all connects. Like, when a lot of artists like work together, I feel like it's a whole journey. I mean, there's a lot of things in my head I'm just like thinking about. So,
I guess for someone as creative, like, in that falls, that's fair. That's very important.
Yeah.
But I guess, with that being said, unless anything else to mention?
Anything else? You can.
Outros and all that. But yeah, with that being said, that is the end of today's episode. So thank you so much for coming on and taking time.
Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
The Amazon deal.
We got our manager just out of the camera just clapping as well.
The Amazon deal, guys.
Yeah. Again, no law breaking. For everyone watching, please make sure we will be tagging Sahil on in the link in the description. Please make sure to drop him a follow.
We'll tag you, we'll mention you. Don't worry about it.
Make sure to drop him a follow and check out his content. And remember to like, share, subscribe. You can listen to us again. Reminder, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. We're all there. Again,
website, what
we have a website, guys.
We have a new board now. Look at this.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone noticed. We forgot to address this.
Yeah, so don't worry. We're gonna
the main
up,
man,
so
Josh, pulled off an amazing sign as well. So let's actually give a big massive pop for that. Like, this is amazing.
Let's go, Josh. Let's get it.
So yeah, like, share, subscribe, leave a comment, and we will see you guys for the next episode of MDX. One of them, MDX Unplugged, unfiltered, unscripted university life.
Yes, sir.
That is it.
That's good.
No.